Go to John chapter 3. If you brought a Bible this morning, if you didn't, that's okay. I don't think it'll be difficult to follow along. But if you brought your Bible, we're in the Gospel of John chapter 3. And New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the third chapter. We're going to read the first 7 verses as our text today. We'll stay right here in this portion of Scripture for the message this morning. All right? And what we're going to do is, in just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to pray. Somebody will sing, and then we'll jump right into the message right as soon as they're through with their song. All right. In honor of God's Word, let's all stand together, please. We appreciate and love the Holy Bible. Thank God for His book. And we're going to read these verses responsively, which means, would you please join me as we read on the even-numbered verses, okay? Join me on the even-numbered verses, and I'll read the odd ones for us. And we're in John 3. And we're beginning with verse number 1, where the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again." Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. It did my heart good, Lord, to hear the people reading the scriptures. God, you said in one place in the Bible, "Blessed is he that readeth." You give a special blessing for those folks who just read your word. God, it's eternal, powerful book. We pray that as we open its pages and speak from it this morning, that, Lord, you'll please take it and bless it in a special way. We prayed for many weeks, Lord, that you'd please bless this service. You'd hedge out all the distractions and the disturbances, and Lord, that you'd hedge in that sweet liberty that the Holy Ghost gives. Thankful for all the folks that have come this morning. And now, dear Lord, will you speak through the message? And we'll thank you. Bless the song and the message to follow it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Over me, sweeps over me, the
That was a blessing. Good song, wasn't it? I enjoyed that. Good, good song for us this morning. I have been stuffed up all week. My right ear is still stuffed up. Can you hear okay out there? That's what counts, if you can hear okay. I've already listened to myself put this together once, so I don't need to listen to me again. But I'd like you to be able to hear me. So you can hear okay, every section, that's what matters. All right, very good. Let me ask you to do this. If you brought a cell phone or a pager, and most that's about 99% of us now, just check, make sure it's turned off for the next few minutes, okay? Put it on silent. And, you know, if somebody texts you, they can wait for another few minutes for you without answering back. I'd like to have your attention just for a few moments. We're going to have a good time. And the Lord's absolutely, what greater weather could He have given us for today? And the wind's barely blowing and it's sunny out there. It'll probably be 50 degrees or better by the time we get out to the playground out there, whatever you call that thing, okay? And we're glad you've come. We've gone to a lot of expense, and we have a lot of kids and teenagers here today. We've gone to a lot of expense to have this day. We don't regret that at all. We're glad to do it, happy to do it, and glad you came. All we ask, it's 10:57. I'll probably be through sometime today with this message, okay? And no, it won't be long. I'll probably be through, and I told them probably, by 11:35 or 11:40, we'd be wrapping up over here. And so that's my plans. And I just want to get you, I just want you to listen for a few minutes, and everybody. And we have ushers. This lady might be looking for somebody. I saw her down here. If one of the ushers could help you. Are you looking for someone, man? You got a friend here? Okay. Do you know the name? Ashley. She's right over here. Ashley, you got a friend? She is right over here. All right. Very good. Ashley, you've got more than one friend, looks like. Amen. That's a blessing. Ashley's just new to our church, and that's great, bringing her friends. Amen. That's wonderful. We'll give her time to get down there and sit with her friend this morning. Now, so all I ask is just ask for your attention for a little bit this morning. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I promise you that. You didn't come here to hear my opinion, okay? Just talk to you from the Word of God a little bit this morning, and trust the Lord to speak to our hearts as we look at the Bible. Here's the question. Here's my title for the message. I'm going to put it in the form of a question. And we read down through here, verse number 3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said in verse number 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So here's my question. Have you had a second birth? Have you had a second birth? That's a simple question. Have you had a second birth? Let's pray. Dear Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to have this service, for all these folks who've come. Lord, bless the other services and bless in here, please, now. We'll thank you for it. Well, we trust you. Trust your word and your spirit. We have no greater to trust in than you. There is none greater than you and none greater to rely upon than your spirit. So bless these moments. In Jesus' name and amen. If I only had one opportunity to spend 30 minutes with someone, somebody I would never see or talk to again, and I had 30 minutes, and if I could show them, since I'm a pastor, if I could show that person who I'll never talk to or see again, and only got 30 minutes with them, if I could show them anything out of the Bible, and that's a big old book right there. 66 different books. I don't know how many chapters and verses and words. A lot of things in the Bible. But if I only had a half hour, and if I only had a chance to talk to a person one time, never hear from them again or see them again, and I only had one passage that I could share with them, I would show them these 7 verses in John chapter 3. I don't think I'd go anywhere else. If I didn't know the person, only had an opportunity to talk to them for half an hour. So that's why I'm doing it this morning. I don't know if I'll see some of you folks again in this life, in this area, in this community. I may never get the opportunity to talk with you from the Bible again. And so I want to talk to you from these 7 verses. Have you had the second birth? Now here's what you got. A man named Nicodemus, he came to see and to talk with Jesus. The Bible says he came at night under the cover of darkness. I believe he came at night because he was a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. Now, the Pharisees were religious leaders. ruling over the Jewish people, and they were students of the Old Testament law, and they kind of, if you will, arbitrated things between Jewish people, deciding, no, this is right according to the law, and that's wrong, back and forth. And so they were rulers of the Jewish people. The Pharisees as a whole disdained Jesus Christ. They hated Him, and they rejected His claims that He was the Son of God. They rejected those claims. They denied that, and they denied it vehemently. Now, Nicodemus was a religious ruler, one of those religious rulers, and he came to see Jesus by night. Because if he was seen talking to Jesus publicly, he would have been in big trouble with his co-workers and his peers and his friends, the other Pharisees. Oh, they would have given him a horrible time. And so he came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. He's curious and he wanted to talk to him. Now the first thing Jesus says to Nicodemus is about the second birth. He says to him in verse number 3, "Verily, verily," which just means truly, truly, "I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, I want you to notice, folks, that this man comes to see Jesus under the cover of darkness. They don't know how long they're going to have to talk. It may be a very short while. And so Jesus didn't talk with Nicodemus about the weather. Jesus didn't talk with Nicodemus about politics. He didn't talk with Nicodemus about sports. He didn't talk with Nicodemus about finance. He didn't talk about world problems with Nicodemus. Now, I don't think Jesus was ignorant of all of those things. In fact, he would have been the most knowledgeable on any one of those subjects. And I enjoy talking about those things. But again, he doesn't know how long he's going to have with Nicodemus there talking on that rooftop, possibly. I don't have but maybe one chance to talk with you, some of you, from the Bible. So I don't want to ask you about the weather. I want to ask you about politics and sports and finance and world problems. Because, friend, listen, when it comes to going to heaven, those things don't mean anything. Those things don't mean much at all. Jesus told him, he said, "Nicodemus, except you are born again, you cannot see heaven." If you're not born again, you cannot see heaven. Now, Nicodemus heard the words "born again," and he immediately insisted that's impossible. That was his first defense, first response. This is impossible. He says in verse number 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He said, "This is impossible, Jesus. I come to see you, and the first thing you start talking to me about is a second birth. I am an adult man. I am a grown man. How in the world can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again?" Nicodemus thought Jesus was talking about a second physical birth. How can I have that? And folks, that's an impossibility. Nobody ever had two physical births. Nicodemus couldn't have one. I couldn't have one. You couldn't have one. A person can only have one physical birth. The same person has never been born two times physically. I mean, you think about how disappointing that would be for a mother and a dad. To go to the delivery room and birth the same child all over again. I mean, you know, same weight, same height, same look, same genetics, same everything. I mean, the same thing. I mean, you know, we love our kids to death. We love them like crazy. But, you know, after 5 or 6 kids, that would get a little bit monotonous. You know, variety is the spice of life. So it's nice when they come out a little bit different. Amen. And, you know, this one's got a little bit bigger this, a little bit smaller that, and this one's going to be this way, and that, and different personalities. It'd be a pretty boring world if we're born, everybody's just born again and again and again and again and again physically. He's not talking about a physical birth, but that's what Nicodemus thinks he's talking about. So Jesus makes it clear to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, I'm not talking about a spiritual birth, a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth." He says in verse number 5, again, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then he says this, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So he says, I'm talking about the spiritual birth, Nicodemus. And without that spiritual birth, you cannot enter heaven. So he told him, he said, okay, without the spiritual birth, you can't see heaven. And without the spiritual birth, you can't enter heaven. He said, now Nicodemus, you have to have the birth of water. That's the physical birth. You're born of the flesh. What's born of the flesh is flesh. Here it is, folks. It's easy. A physical man and a physical woman produce a physical birth. They produce a physical person. That's what man produces. Born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But then that physical person must have a spiritual birth. And the spiritual birth cannot be produced by a physical person. And my wife and I, in the union of our marriage, we produced 6 physical people. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. They were living, breathing, physical people. 6 of them, different ones, all right? But my wife and I never birthed a spiritual person. Physical people can't birth spiritual persons. Are y'all with me this morning? That's not hard to understand. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. All right? And that's what Jesus is teaching Nicodemus here. Nicodemus, you're born of the flesh. You had a physical dad and a physical mom in the union of marriage, and they produced a physical person. You're born of the flesh. You've only had one birth. You must have the second birth. And the second birth is not a physical birth, Nicodemus. The second birth is a spiritual birth. And the spiritual birth cannot be produced by a physical person. The spiritual birth can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the only one who can produce a spiritual birth. And the Spirit of God was already working on Nicodemus to produce the spiritual birth in him. I'm not sure Nicodemus was aware that the Holy Spirit was working on him, but I know that the Holy Spirit was working on Nicodemus by what Nicodemus said to Jesus when he came to him. I know the Spirit of God was working on him. You say, how do you know that? Well, first of all, I want you to see this. Nicodemus was aware of eternity. He was aware of eternity. Look what he said in verse number 2, if you have a Bible, if you don't, just listen. He said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Nicodemus knew. He had been thinking about eternity. He'd been thinking about the place where God lives. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, you have come from God. You are not of this world. God is in heaven. And friend, you have to be honest with me this morning and admit that deep down, all of us think about eternity from time to time. All of us do. Now, we know we're not going to live in this life forever. We know that someday a group of people are going to follow a casket that contains our body to a cemetery. We know that. We know that. And we know that life does not end at that cemetery. And we know that. It's down inside of us. And we wonder sometimes, where will we go when we die? Where will we spend eternity? What is on the other side of the grave? After I breathe my last breath and they place that lifeless body in a casket and lower it a few feet into the ground and cover that casket with dirt, what is on the other side of that grave? I promise you, everybody in this room has had thoughts about eternity from one time, at some time or another. So how do you know that? Because everybody is alike. We're all made out of the same stuff. We may have different color hair. We may have different sized noses and ears. And we may speak a different language. We may be of a different color skin. But the heart of man is the same in everybody. A man thinks about eternity. And Nicodemus had been thinking about eternity. And the Spirit of God was working on his heart with those thoughts of eternity. Eternity comes to our mind once in a while. We think to ourselves, what's on the other side of the grave? What's beyond this life? What happens to me? We go to a funeral and we sit through a funeral service and we pass by a casket or the remains of someone who's died. And I'll promise you, friend, I could hardly ever go to a funeral service without thinking about eternity. What's out there? Where will I? Those questions come to us. Where will we spend eternity? Where will we go when we die? What's eternity like? Sometimes we push those thoughts aside because they make us uncomfortable. They stir other questions in us that we don't want to even answer. We think about eternity. This has happened to several people in this church. As we go out visiting, it's happened to me. We'll go in the community and knock on a door. Somebody we've never seen before will come to the door, and we'll begin to speak with them. And I'm Terry Angel. I'm pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And we're just in the neighborhood here passing out some literature and inviting folks to our church. And we talk for a few minutes about whatever's happening and going on and ask a question. Have you ever been what the Bible calls born again? No, I don't think I've been what the Bible calls born again. In other words, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And here's what that, not all the time, but once in a while they say this. You know, I was just thinking about that the other day. I was at work this week and had a coworker that dropped dead. That's what they'll say. Or they'll say sometimes, you know, my grandmother just died a month ago. I've been thinking about that. We think about eternity. Nicodemus was thinking about eternity. His mind was on eternity. He said, Jesus, I know you come from God. Way up there in heaven. His mind was on eternity. And the Spirit of God works on us to cause us to think along those lines. And if I'm talking to somebody this morning, in the past 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months or even the past year, your mind has thought somewhat on eternity from time to time. Friend, that's no accident. That's no accident. The Spirit of God puts the thought of eternity on our minds. But I see something else. Not only was Nicodemus thinking about eternity, Nicodemus knew that he didn't measure up. Nicodemus knew he didn't measure up. He said to Jesus, no man can do these miracles that thou doest. He said, Jesus, there is something different about you. There is something real. There is something powerful. There's something different in you and me. I feel like I am not what you are. I feel like I fall short. Can I tell you, friend, that is a clear indication that the Spirit of God was working on Nicodemus. Because that's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. He works on us to show us that all of us fall short. All of us fall short. The Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, there are some in this world who do not care that they fall short. They do not attempt to measure up to Jesus Christ. They fall short and they fall way short. And there are others in this life who do care. And they do attempt to measure up. And they're religious and they have some belief. And they're taught to do a bit of good works. They own a Bible or two, and maybe they go to church every now and again. And kind of like Nicodemus here, they're religious. But still, Nicodemus knew that in spite of his being religious, he fell short. So you've got all people in the world falling short. We don't measure up. You know, the teacher at the school, she gives a test in class, and you've got to have a 60 to pass. If you make a 60 or above, you get a D, and it gets better if you go up higher. But if you get below a 60, you get an F. So when she gathers up the test, one of the kids in the class makes a 38. Another kid in the class makes a 58. But the one kid who made 38, he fell way short of 60. And the kid who made 58 got real close to 60. But can I remind us, friend, I never have seen an F plus or an F minus. Anybody ever get an F plus on a paper? I've gotten a B plus and a C minus. And an A plus, not many of those in life, and a B minus, but I never got an F plus and an F minus. Never, because there's no such thing. If you fall short, you fall short. No matter if it's 58 or 38, that's a what? It's an F. We all fall short. One falls short by a bunch, another falls short closely. But in the end, it's all the same. And when we begin to realize that we are not measuring up, that we're not making the grade, that's when the Spirit of God is working on us. When we realize there is a heaven, there is an eternity, and we feel like we just don't have what is necessary to go there. That's what Nicodemus felt. I've been thinking about eternity. Me, Master, I've been thinking about eternity. Rabbi, I've been thinking about eternity. Jesus, and I just don't feel like I measure up. I don't feel like I have what it takes to go to heaven. That's not the result of a touch of the flu. That's not the result of the blues. That's not the result of a bit of depression. That is the Spirit of God working on a person
to produce in them the spiritual birth. That's what that is. So it's a funny thing you say that, Pastor Angel, because I've been thinking that way lately. I've been thinking that my life just doesn't measure up. I find myself doing things that I shouldn't do, and I feel bad. I feel like I don't have what it takes for heaven. Welcome, friend, to the crowd. We're all the same. None of us measure up. None measure up. That's how I know the Spirit of God was working on Nicodemus. Nicodemus was thinking about eternity. Nicodemus knew that he didn't measure up. Let me say this. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ. That's how I know the Spirit of God is working on Nicodemus. Because this is what the Spirit of God does. He draws people to Jesus Christ. He shows us our shortcomings. He puts eternity in our thoughts and gets us thinking about what's out there after death. And I don't measure up and I can't get to heaven. He puts us in that position and then He points us to Jesus Christ. That's His work. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't Nicodemus go to Peter? Why didn't Nicodemus go to James? Why didn't Nicodemus go to Andrew or Philip or Nathaniel? You know why Nicodemus went to Jesus? Because that's what the Spirit of God does. He begins to work on a person and He brings them to Jesus Christ. It could be that the very reason you're here this morning is that the Spirit of God has been working on your heart to bring you to a place where you could hear about Jesus Christ and the second birth. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. That's His work. So here's what's happening with Nicodemus. He's been thinking there's an eternity. He's been thinking I'm not ready for eternity. He's been thinking I need to go see Jesus. And when he gets there, Jesus tells Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you cannot see heaven unless you're born again. And you cannot enter heaven unless you've been born again. He said, you must be born again. Now, we didn't take time to read the rest of the chapter. But later on in this chapter, Jesus tells Nicodemus, I'm going to the cross. And on the cross, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. God loved you so much that He sent me here to die for your sins, to pay man's sin debt in full, and to make it possible for you to have eternal life. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. 3 days and three nights later, I'm going to rise from that grave because I am the Son of God. And Nicodemus, my Father sent me here to do that. And can I tell you, friend, that God the Father sent His Son 2,000 years ago to die on that cross for you and for me. That's why He sent Him. Nicodemus, you cannot be born again physically. You can't go back into your mother's womb at your age in life, any age in life, and be born again physically. But Nicodemus, you can be born spiritually. You had no choice about your physical birth, but you do have a choice about your spiritual birth. Will you be born again? And if you choose not to be born the second time spiritually, you cannot see heaven and you cannot enter heaven. Now, folks, if you can't see your enter heaven, that only leaves one other place. Because the Bible only talks about two places in eternity. The Bible talks about a real heaven, and the Bible talks about a real hell. Now, if you can't enter or see heaven, it's bad enough not to be able to enter it. But not even to see it. And if you don't go there, there's only one other place. Because remember, life doesn't end at the grave. You say, where is hell? Well, I'm not an authority on that. I don't know that the Bible is real clear either, although I think the Bible does give enough proof right now that hell is in the center of the earth. And that would fit the description of hell. The molten lava and brimstone that makes up the center of our earth. And the Bible says that hell is fire. Outer darkness. No light can penetrate into the center of the earth. And the Bible calls hell a place of outer darkness. The continual feeling of falling. Falling and falling and tumbling and falling. And what a horrible feeling. You know, if you've ever had a dream, and in that dream you're falling, how horrible it is. It's always nice to wake up before you land. Amen. Yeah. But as the earth rotates on its axis, revolves around the sun, a continual movement would make you feel in the center of the earth as if you were falling. There's no water there. And the Bible says it's a place of continual thirst. So thirsty was the man in hell that he asked if Lazarus, a former leper, could take his finger. And that's where most leprosy is located, on the outer edges of our extremities, the toes, the fingers, the nose, the ears. And the rich man said, "Can you please let the former leper Lazarus dip his finger in water and bring me just a drip of water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this way." I know that's not popular. I know that doesn't make us feel good. But I can't be an honest preacher of the Bible. If I only have 30 minutes to talk to somebody, I've got to be honest with them and completely honest. And if you can't see or enter heaven, there's not one other place to go. And that's the place that Jesus called hell. Nicodemus, you had no choice about your physical birth. You had no choice in that matter. Your mom and dad in the union of marriage produced you. Physical people produced a physical child. That's you. You had no choice about it. But Nicodemus, the Spirit of God is working on your heart. The Spirit of God has your mind on eternity. And the Spirit of God has your mind that you don't measure up. And the Spirit of God brought you to me. And you do have a choice about the second birth. Nicodemus, will you choose the second birth? Will you choose it? 34 years ago, last Thursday, was October 15th. 34 years ago, it was on a Wednesday. And I was in bad, bad shape at 18 years of age. My life out of control, messed up beyond belief. Absolutely messed up. Had a home for wayward boys. Through some circumstances I won't even take the time to go into, because it's time to stop. The Spirit of God was working on my heart. I can remember sitting on the back of that pumpkin wagon, going out into the field to pick pumpkins with a bunch of the other boys and the leaders of the home and the farmers. I remember sitting on the back of that pumpkin wagon thinking about my life and what a mess it was, how I didn't measure up, and how that my problems were the result of my choices, my sin. Boy, I'd never thought like that before. I'd never thought like that before. I thought, dear God. That was Wednesday afternoon. I was sitting on the edge of that pumpkin wagon with my head down, bowed, just sitting there. Old Mike Hickey was driving that tractor. He looked back and saw me sitting there with my head bowed. He got off that pumpkin wagon that afternoon, went in and called the pastor at the church. He said, "Pastor," he said, "maybe some of the men should pray tonight before church." He said, "I got a boy with me. I think the Spirit of God's working on him." I went to church that night. I didn't know it. Three or four men had gotten together in a side room and prayed. They didn't know me. They didn't know my name. They just prayed for that boy that's under conviction. Boy, the preacher got up in the pulpit, started talking about Jesus. Started talking about the salvation that's in Jesus. What Jesus can do when He gets in your heart and life and forgives your sin and cleans you up. Takes away all that guilt and that new birth. And all, thank God, He gave me the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. He gave the opportunity. If you want to be saved, if you want to be born into God's family, this is what you need to do. Man, I was right to it. I had a choice. Will I be born again? You got a choice this morning. Have you had the second birth? If not, you can. It's your choice. And if the Spirit of God is working on your heart this morning and brought you to this place and is now talking about Jesus Christ and knocking on the door of your heart, I would encourage you to trust Christ today. Because if you don't, you cannot see heaven and you cannot enter. Have you had the second birth? Here's what we're going to do. We can close our Bibles. I'm done. Here's what we're going to do. We're in good shape time-wise. Just a minute. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, but I want to talk to you a minute before I do that. I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning. If you would just sit real still if you put your Bible away. We'll give you the opportunity this morning to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen very carefully. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. It's not what this is about. Okay? I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking that at all. This is nothing financial. This is nothing hokey pokey. This is nothing under the radar. This is what it is. You're not sure you're saved. You've never had the second birth. And you got a choice. And you say, I need that. That's what I need. I've been religious. Or maybe I haven't been religious. But I need the second birth. We got people that can take the Bible and just quickly show you what I just showed. They won't even repeat all the verses. They'll just tell you what you need to do to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I would beg you. I beg you. If you never had the second birth, get it today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Would you please, just with your head bowed and your eyes closed, pay attention just for a moment. While no one's looking around, a couple of our ladies are coming to the instruments to play the piano and the organ. And that's all we need, just the piano and the organ. Nobody else is looking. Everybody's being still. Now all I ask you to do is be honest. Just be honest. Who would say this morning, Pastor Angel, I've had the second birth. I can go back to a place and a time where I know. This is not a Baptist thing. This is a Jesus thing. I know. I had the second birth. I was born into God's family. I know that. Would you be honest this morning before God? If you can say that, would you raise your hand? I know I've had the second birth. I know I've had it. Thank you. Take your hand down. Now, there were some this morning who could not raise your hand. I appreciate your honesty. How many of you say, Pastor Angel, I did not raise my hand. I could not raise my hand because I do not know that I've had the second birth. I don't know that I've had it, or I know that I haven't had it. But I could not raise my hand a moment ago. Would you raise it now, please? You could not raise it a moment ago. Thank you. Is there another one? I've not had the second birth. I could not raise my hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Somebody else? Yes. I've not had the second birth. I've not been born again into God's family. I've not trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand in the balcony on the lower floor, side to side? I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm not sure I've had the second birth, Pastor Angel. Keep it up just for a moment. Thank you. You may take it down. All right. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Here's what I'd like to do. If you raised your hand, you have not had the second birth, or you're not sure that you have. We have folks this morning, ladies with Bibles, men with Bibles, and they're going to be willing to show you from the Bible how to get the second birth, how to trust Christ. So if you raised your hand just now, you've never had the second birth. I want you, along with the ladies and their Bibles and the men with their Bibles, I want you to come forward right now with our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Just leave your seat and come this way while the others are coming. You join them. Come with whatever. Just come down the altar. And we're going to take the Bible this morning and show you how to be saved. Show you how to have that second birth. While we wait, nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You raised your hand. Would you come? That's right. God bless you. Would you come? Would you come this morning? That's all we ask. Not asking you to become a Baptist. Not asking you to become a church member. That's not what this is about. This is about knowing for sure that you're saved. knowing for sure that heaven is your home. The Spirit of God has been working on your heart. Maybe brought you this morning for a carnival. You thought you were coming for a carnival, for a fun time for the kids. But the truth of the matter is you've been thinking about eternity. And you've been thinking about not measuring up. And now the Spirit of God has brought you here to learn about Jesus Christ. Would you come? While we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking, would you come? While these are coming, you join them. Anybody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right, is there anybody else here who would say, Pastor, I'm sure that I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Not been baptized since I've been saved. I'm saved. I'm born again. But I never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that this morning? You've never been baptized. Anybody like that? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray in just a moment. Ask the Lord's blessing on the invitation. If you're not sure that you're saved, if you're not sure that you're born again, you come. Others have come. You come. Let us take a Bible in just a moment and show you how to be saved. We'll all be standing. Our heads will be bowed. Our eyes will be closed. It'll be very personal. And again, I'm not talking about making you a Baptist or a church member. You can come from the balcony. You can come from either side of the auditorium, front or back. I'm going to pray. Dear Father, thank you for these that have come this morning. I thank you for the privilege to speak your word to people. And pray, dear God, that you please speak to hearts right now. Lord, I thank you for some in the room this morning that were honest and raised their hand. They're not sure that they're saved. Lord, I pray that you'll please help them to respond while they have the choice to be saved and have the second birth. Help them to respond. And dear Father, we'll thank you for it. Speak to our hearts. Thank you again for salvation. Thank you, God, for loving us enough to send Jesus to die for us. God, we love you and we appreciate what you did for us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We've got a few that have come this morning. We still have time for you. And when we stand and the music begins to play, you just slip out to the aisle, make your way down here. There's men here to receive you, and then they'll show you to somebody who can tell you how to be saved. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a little music while we wait. Would you come? They're playing that good old invitation song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Come from the balcony if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you're not sure that you've had the second birth. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Pay for you to be here and give the opportunity to be saved and leave not sure of eternity. Would you come join these who already come this morning while we wait? Our heads are bowed now.